Well, I recognize I need the Lord tonight. I hope you recognize you need the Lord. To be honest with you, sometimes I get up to minister and feel like I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I get up and feel like I don't. And it seems like it don't make much difference really which way I feel. So, I desire your prayers. I do have a thought. That's what I want to think about a little bit. Thou fool. That's not something that I think any of us would want to have a title of. But there's different definitions of it. My favorite one, the one that I think of most, is being a fool is being opposite of wise. And wisdom is the ability to see the results of an action. We heard the other day about order. God has an order about things. Life has an order about things. Everything that is has order that God made because He's an ordered God. We count on the order of God. I'm experiencing the order of God. I can say it this way. I was young and I'm getting older and I'm only following the same order that my dad followed and his dad and dad before it. It's an order. I would be a fool to not consider that in my life. Because it is. It is. And life is changing for me. And I would be a fool not to recognize that and make decisions according to that order. But everything around us is ordered that way. If God tarries, He's coming, the sun will come up in the morning. Because there's an order to it. And all life has order around us. And for us to look at the circumstances and not accept the order that's bound to come is the definition of a fool. Because there is other definitions. There's definitions, actually honest definitions, original definitions, puts a fool as someone that was an idiot or someone that didn't have the capacity. Not a fault of theirs. It wasn't decisions. They had no ability to reason anything out. There's people that's born that way. Other people get that way by accidents or by drug abuses or things happen to them, being in war, explosions, different things. They take away their ability to see reason, which is nothing more than to be able to calculate order. That's all that it is. That was the original, with no fault to the ones doing it, but it's become known to those that do know. You're called a fool when the obvious is before you and you don't deal with the obvious of it. And Lord, help us, because I see that all around. I'm short of just calling people a fool most of the time. But the foolish behaviors of the world around us is incredible. I look so many times and say, but don't you know where that's going to end up? As sure as 2 and 2's 4, that's just reason. As sure as, A, B, and then a C, that's the way it is. There's orders to things. And just as sure as you take this action, there's going to be a reaction to that. And just as sure as you go down that path, there'll be a consequence in that path. That's just as sure, it's as calculable, it's as reasonable as anything can be. And yet, many times, we don't accept the order. You know, the scripture tells us that a man will reap what he sows. We heard that the other day too. As a part of order that's unchangeable, unarguable. It's as sure as anything that you will reap what you sow. But there's other factors in that. Do you know that you also, if the whole concept of it is that if you plant one grain, you get many grains back. It's also multiplied. If you sow the wind, the Scripture says, you'll reap the whirlwind. It has to come back by fold. It's the very principle of it. It's the order. It's the reason. For us to look and say that that ain't a fact, or that isn't going to apply to me, oh, how many people have said that will never apply to me? How many people have went away from the very definition of the, and the idea of order that God has created? It's foolish. It's a foolish thing to neglect our souls. It's just a foolish thing. I'd like to start in Ephesians. I'll start in the 15th verse. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." The idea of that is that you're alert. Yes. But there's more to it, because it doesn't say that you stand circumspectly. I don't think Christians are supposed to stand. I don't think we're to be so afraid of making mistakes that we don't go into the activities that we should go into. I don't think that we should be so afraid that we're going to do something wrong or bad that we isolate ourselves into a commune somewhere. I don't think we should be so afraid of the world that we set the world as something that we can't participate in or work in or among, that we're so going to cast ourselves out. I heard one time of somebody that had a wall. He got in a place and had a wall built around him with no door. They built him in. Had a little place that they feed him through there, because he was going to live his life in purity. There might be a definition here for that. But that's not what the Lord wants us to do. He don't want us to sit with our legs crossed and our hands up in the air trying to be holy. But this Scripture says, but walk. Walk means that you're moving. You're going somewhere. You're trying to accomplish something. But while you do, Lord help us, we ought to be busy. I should be about the Lord's business. But we're supposed to be working. But while we are, we shouldn't be fools. We should be circumspect about it. I used to think that the Scripture was talking about coming up to a matter and walking around it, and I'm not so sure. I think it would apply, but I think if you look into it, it's more likely to mean that as you go along, you've got enemies everywhere. The devil is after us on every hand. If he can't make you proud, he'll make you so self-conscious you can't do anything. If he can't do that, he'll work on the left hand, or he'll work on the right. If he can't make you overcharged, he'll make you undercharged. If he can't make you too big, he'll make you too little. He'll work on you on any hand. He'll give anything that he can. I know people that say, well, they feel like that they can't sing, and I'm one of them that can't sing very well, and all those kind of things. Well, some can't sing, and then somebody feels like they can't sing, because if they do, they'll feel too proud because they're too good a singer. The devil will do one thing to you and do another. I'm telling you, don't stop singing for the Lord just because the devil says that. Get on, walk circumspectly. If that's a problem, you'll need help with it. Well, walk circumspectly means that I'm paying attention. I'm going, and what I'm doing, I'm paying attention to the orders. To the order, the reasons. The reasonable fact that if this happens, then this happens. I'm going to tell you, I'm going along, and a big mean, maybe he ain't going to bite me, but if a big mean dog comes growling, I'm walking circumspectly. I'm assuming that he wants to. I'm assuming that it's possible that he would do that. And I'm going to be careful to make sure that he don't get his teeth in me, if he can. Was out in the work of the Lord one time down in Kentucky, and went up to this house and was inviting people out to our tent meeting, and invited this woman out to the tent meeting. She was on her porch, and I remember looking over at this place, and there was nothing unusual about the place, but just as soon as I did, I had an uneasiness, and that's the only, I had a feeling of uneasiness about this place over there. And so after I talked to this woman and invited her out to the our service, she says to me, she said, "I wouldn't go over there if I was you." Well, I already had this feeling, so I was really, "What? What?" And she said, "They got a big dog over there." And I said, "Loose?" And it's, no, it's you know, it's been everything, it's not loose. "Oh, well, that's all right. I don't see no danger in that." So I went over there and went to knock on the door. And when I did, I heard this thundering sound come through there, rumbling. And this big old Rottweiler hit that screen door. And I don't know if it was locked or what, but it wasn't locked when it hit it. It come through there. Big old dog come through. And I was trying to keep that dog off of me. And I was bending down, and every time it'd go from my leg, I'd kind of go like that. And I was looking for something to jump up on. I was about to jump up on these people's car. Well, this woman heard it. She come out there, and she was giving me what for when she getting that dog off. "What are you doing anyway? What are you doing here?" And that kind of stuff. And she was kind of a little rougher on me than the dog was over it. But I want to be, you know, we'll be circumspect about it. That impression that there's something over there, this is something to watch out for. Walk circumspectly. Well, that ended pretty well. I got to talking to her, and she kind of calmed down, and I was able to talk to her about some of her troubles and give her a track and talk to her about the Lord. And it worked out well, and that was the Lord working in it. And I went away blessed for that. But I want to tell you, we need to walk circumspectly through life. I want to tell you all something. There's a danger out there. And it says, walk circumspectly, not as fools. Well, then how does a fool walk? A fool walks without caution or care. A fool walks in never considering what reason is. What might happen to things. What naturally will happen to things. That's a foolish way to approach it. That I'm invincible. Nothing can touch me. I don't mean to pick on the young people, but how many times have I seen young people come up? I've been among the saints for a while now. And how many times since 86, and how many times have I seen them come up to a certain point, they have an idea of what life is, they want to reach out, they want fun, they want these things, and they went out there at the same time, wiser hands are saying, "Better be circumspect. You better be careful there." None of them dreams of the disaster that waits ahead of them. Their dreams is of love and of good things and all those things. But they don't look and say that it's an order. If you're going to have good things in your life, you're going to have to follow a path of good things. And there's good things ahead of you. I can tell you tonight, God's got, no matter what this world's doing, no matter what North Korea's doing, or Iran's doing, or the Muslims doing, God's got good things in your life if you follow the order. Amen. If you plant the right seeds and do the right things. And if you don't do those things, just as sure as you're here, the bad things are going to follow. Just as sure there's an order. There's an order. How many times that the and that youth and thing, they come up and they get this heart and mind and say, I'm gonna beat the odds. And I'm gonna marry this guy. And he ain't saved. He's exciting. He's fun. And we're gonna break the rules, and we're gonna make it. And we're gonna be the exception to it. I know they don't think that. That's why they're acting. Not knowing. It's predictable. I've predicted it many times. I predicted it and said, the years will tell on this. If God doesn't show mercy, and if they don't accept that, this thing's going to show up, and it's as sure as 2 is 2 is 4. It's as sure as there's an order in thing. The Scripture says for us to walk circumspectly. Paying attention to the orders about things, the things that comes into life, I want to tell you that you ain't going to get by with indifferent living for the Lord. Let me warn you, walk circumspectly. Hell's against you, young flesh is against you, the world's against you. We need God. We say, "Well, how much do I need Him?" As much as you dare, that's how much you need Him. You're going to need Him today, tomorrow. You're going to need Him. You say, "Well, I can get through this with a little haphazard effort." No, you can't. Amen. You just can't. It doesn't work that way. It's not in the order of things. All the Scripture says, diligently seek Him. Diligently. With our whole hearts. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Well, how does the wise walk? The wise walks with this kind of an attitude. I'm able to see. That's what it is. The ability to see what my decision is going to do. If I make this decision about this, what is going to be the end of this decision? The Scripture says a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands will do what? It brings you to poverty. That's wisdom in a nutshell. It's being able to see the orders of me just saying, I'm not sowing, I'm not reaping, I'm not working, and I'll get by with that. Well, in our modern culture, they're training people to give. Can I tell you something about our modern world? Where there's an idea that nobody, that you don't have to work to be rewarded. It's not wise. It's a fool's notion. That will catch up with us. I'm going to predict it as sure as anything. That's a bad notion. It will not work for the hearts of the ones done it. It will bring bankrupts to the others. It will not work. It isn't in the order. It isn't in the plan. It isn't in the psychology. It isn't in a part of a person. What makes it right? It makes wrong. That's the truth. That's the scriptural truth. If you don't eat or work, you oughtn't eat is a principle in the Scriptures that every able body ought to do it. That's a fact. We ought to be charitable. We ought to be giving. But there's a fool's notion in this. So instead of walking like fools, I look a lot of times and say, don't our nation know better than that? Don't you think there's something more to the idea that if we can just as a people accept the fact that we can kill our own offspring? Don't you think that that's a fool's notion to think that we can raise up a generation that we can kill and we can say we'll kill our own offspring and not have something negative attached to that? That's walking like a fool. Wisdom would say there's going to be some reaction or responses to that in the hearts of our people. We're going to degrade life down to a meaningless thing. It's going to have an effect. It's having its effect. And on we go. There is a notion. And Lord help us, I like to say here, we love everybody. It's never the exclusion of people. We love everybody, and what we want is the best, happiest life that they can have. But it will not be found in this alternative lifestyle. That has a repercussion, folks, that's going to destroy. That's damaging to a person. And it's going to be damaging to that from there on to the point that people don't understand even who they are. We were created in the image of God, not a bunch of animals. There's a higher thing than all of those things of the body and of the mind. We're created in the image of God. A little lower than the angels. But we were created as spiritual beings to overcome that flesh with. To have something richer and deeper and a relationship with God. Oh, we weren't just created as a lustful animal on this earth. And all the world just goes on. And so often I look and said, that's so foolish. That's going to have such negative consequences to it. Well, you can't talk to the whole world, but we can talk to us. I could find myself right there with them. Do you know the Scripture talks about a natural order and course of those that don't love the truth? A natural thing. The natural thing of those that don't love the truth is to believe a lie. Well, you know, I don't know how that really goes forth in doctrines and all those things, but I know how it works in individuals' lives. You end up thinking you're right when you're not. The lie is usually personal. That no matter what I'm doing, where I'm at, I'm on the top of the pole. I'm just as good. I'm just as righteous. I'm right there. And there's a self-deceiving that happens in there. I'm going to tell you, it's wise to love the truth. Folks, embrace the truth. You may say, I don't even know what the truth is altogether. Well, I'll say, me too. A lot of times I'm striving for it too. But love what it is that's true. Love the truth. Lord, I want the truth in my life. Teach me the truth and help me to keep away from every false way. Help me to hate every false way and to stay away from that false way. You want good things in your life? You may be able to accomplish some things in this life, folks, and there might be a blessing upon some of the things. I'm going to tell you, without the Lord in our lives, there's shipwreck ahead. And if you make it fairly through this world, you're going to still have to face eternity with this thing. And that's where wisdom comes in. Because I may be somewhat successful in this world. People can be millionaires and have all these things and do that and live a fairly decent and old life. But you can't cheat eternity. Amen. And wisdom is the ability to see the order all the way through. Amen. What am I doing now in this life? And what is it going to be the end of that? So walk circumspectly, he said. Not as fools walk. Because fools walk and never give consideration to what they're doing, and then they end up there. But walk as wise, determining the choices that you make, that they will end in a good place. Redeeming the time. Well, you know, I've thought about that before. It'd be neat in some situations if you could what. Every once in a while, I wish I could have the clock wound back and just so I could do this little bit. Say that a little better or do that a little different or wish I hadn't done that or all these things. You can't. So you can't draw it back. And that's not what this scripture is talking about. It's kind of like if you dally around a little bit, you piddle around a little bit and it's time to go somewhere and you got to be there at a certain time and you should have left 15 minutes ago and you look up and you look at the clock and say, oh, I should have left 15 minutes ago. It means instead of going on and just kind of fooling around, it means get going. That's what it means. It simply means that you can still get there on time. You can redeem the time that you've messed around. You can still go, but you're going to have to do it better now. The apostle said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." All things don't get me where I'm going to go at the quickest rate. It's not a straight line between this. It might be right for me to do, and I can't be blamed, but there's something that's better here in it. And now it's time for us to start picking up. I believe that 2017 is a time to redeem the time. I think it's a time that we need to get on the march. Get serious about our souls. Get serious about what we're doing. Get serious about the salvation of other people's souls. Get God in line. God in sight. I believe this is a good time to redeem some time that's lost. I've been fooling around too much with my life. I should have been farther along. And now it's time to step up the pace a little bit with it. I can get there. Redeeming the time. Why? And if it ever fits. Because the days are evil. In other words, it's like saying, how much more time am I going to have to make up? I may have to go hopping out the door with only one shoe on. I may have to get in there with the shoes not tied. I may have to get in there with the collar stuck up and my hair not combed down. But if I'm going to get there on time, I'm going to have to sacrifice some things to do it. And do you know what's going to be there? Guarantee it. There's going to be road work. There's going to be some road work. There's going to be some bad weather. There's going to be some stuff starting in the road. I'm going to run out there in that situation. I'm going to look down and my car's going to be flat. I'm going to be running for the compressor. I know it. That's what I do it at the house. That's the way I do it. Got to run and get there. And it's time to redeem. Because there's going to be a lot trying to hinder us from trying to make it there. We don't want to be labeled. They're fools. Been wanting you for 20, 30, 40 years. Been wanting you people, been sending messages. You got a phrase in the songs. I've been working with you, dealing with you, and you're still on that same slow path. You're not getting anywhere. You're not realizing that you're not making it. It's not working. Lord, help us. It's time to get up and get going. Redeeming the time to realize, Lord, my soul's at stake. Help me here to do what I need to do. So many times, I want to tell you, we ought to do it first. Folks, it's the whole principle of Scriptures. God comes first. Not how neat and pressed I am. Listen, I'm not against neat and pressed. You ought to do all that you could in your life. You know what I'm talking about? Spiritually. We got folks up home that work hard. And sometimes they come right out of the hayfield into service. And they bring the way they look at the hayfield into service. You know what I say? It's better to come to service that way than say, I can't go because I ain't cleaned up. Come on and come. You're in a race. You better come and get what you better come and get it. You better come and get it. Well, maybe it's too embarrassing to come with that kind of grime on you, dirt and sweaty. I want to say you better come and get it. You better shuck off some of that. But I'm going to tell you the order of those kind of things. The devil's going to throw a snag. If that's a snag to you, they're going to have a lot of them. But we're going to redeem some time and say, I'm going to get all that I can get in this. And we'll have to get into it now. Lord, help us. This is a lazy time. This is a lazy, indifferent age. With so much prosperity around and so much going on. There's so much entertainment. There's so much different things in our life. Lord, help us to get going and redeem the time. There's other people in the Scriptures that was called, that was titled a fool. One of the most familiar, or I should say some of them, is in the 25th chapter of Matthew. Then shall the first verse, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise. Wise means that they was able to see the results of their actions. The needed hand. So, to realize that I'm going to need oil. I better get it. Because I'm going to need it as an act of wisdom. Amen. And 5 of them were foolish. Not able to see the results of their actions or inactions. Didn't get no oil. Just going to play it out. One walked circumspectly. One was walking circumspectly to life. They looked around and said, gonna get dark. Gonna need a light. Gonna have lights, gotta have oil. Gonna keep burning, gonna have to have oil, gonna have to get all this done, gonna have to get it prepared, get it ready. I do a lot of foolish things in life. I just plain do. And every time I do, I pay for them. Every time. Recently put a socket on a boat, big boat. It was like a 20 millimeter bolt. So there was no reason for me to think I could twist it off there with a 21. But it was what I had. It ended up with my knuckle skin because the thing slipped off of there, me putting power to it. And I'm sitting there thinking, that was stupid. That was a stupid thing to do. And now I'm bleeding down my hand because I've done something that was foolish. And I didn't look and say, and I should have, I've done it enough. I mean, that's the truth. I've done it enough to know that this is what's likely to happen if you do that and went ahead and done that and instead of saying, wisdom would say, I know what the results of this is going to be, so I'm not going to do it. But I went ahead and done it anyway, and I paid the price of it, it didn't work, and I'm bloody, and that's the way it ended up, and the boat never got out by me. I couldn't get it out of there, and I knew it couldn't. Well, this isn't going to work that way. We do that. And I do those kind of things in my life regularly. Did I look and say, that wasn't very smart. That was not a smart thing to do. That was foolish. And I should have known better than what I just done. But none of that cost me my soul. But the attitude will. You understand what I'm saying? The attitude of just being flippant about things and trying to make something work without doing it right in the order that God made it is going to cost something. Yeah, these thought that they can make it by. Well, and why not? They're virgins. They're counting on something. They're relying on something, weren't they? They were relying on who they were and the description that they had. And that is good enough to do. I am a Church of God member. I'm a part of the church. I'm in there. I go to service. I can do those things. Good. But you better be careful. You better be careful. Very careful. That even though you think it, you stand. Because those that think that they stand, take heed. Lest you fall. Because there's a lot against us, folks. There's a lot against us. Five were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with it. There's not a lot of description here. Fool, a fool, is one that's unable to see the natural order of things. Destitute of reason. One who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his morals, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God. Now that's plain spoken stuff there. Thinking that trifling and the temporary pleasures of life is going to get them to an eternal end. Or a happy end. Or a prosperous end. Get terribly deceived. They that were foolish took their lamps. Well, at least they didn't leave their lamps hanging. But I've always wondered, what good's a lamp without oil? Isn't it just a weight? I carry my lamp around and everybody looks and says, look, he got a lamp. You know, your lamp without oil isn't no brighter. I mean, you just as well be carrying the iron. You would be carrying a pitcher. I mean, it doesn't matter if there's no oil. But isn't that the normal idea of a fool? How many times, you know, there's one a scripture where the Lord said, He called the heavens to witness this. Look at what my people's done. They passed up the fountain of living waters to dig for themselves cisterns. Look at what they've done. I want that to be witnessed because that's foolish. First of all, a fountain of living water, you don't have to do it, work for it. It's there. You can drink of it. It's fresh and clear. All you got to do is drink of it. But for us to say, I'll do it myself. Thank you very much. And I know how I do with my water. Well, we better dig a holding tank. And just work and labor to chip it out of stone or whatever, to chip out a tank. Go and dig me a cistern. Make me a cistern. Because I'm self-sufficient and I don't need anything else. But then you find out, well, it doesn't work very well if you don't put water in it. Well, I'm going to have to get some water and put in it. You go to all the efforts to carry or pack or whatever you do to get the water in it, and now we've accomplished it. Sets there for a few days just seeping out and leaking out, and there's nothing in there, and what's there is warm and don't taste good, but you still, it's mine. You know, it ain't much of a car, but it's my car type thing. It ain't much of a house, but it's mine. But it ain't much of a cistern, it ain't much of a water supply, but it's my water supply. Before long, there's nothing in it, and it leaks out the bottom. Folks, that's a fool. That's a foolish way to do it. To say that I'm superior, my thinking's better, my way's better. It's not. And I'm going to go meet the bridegroom, and I'm going to take my lamp with me. But I don't have any oil. But I can sure show him I got a lamp. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. You know why? The wise had an objective. I need my lamp to burn. I need to have it lit. Doesn't do me no good to pack it around. It's got to have light. And I've got to do everything to make it burn. I've got to do everything that I can do that when I stand before the Lord, He says, well done. Thou good and faithful servant, well done. You've done it right. You didn't pretend, church. You didn't just pack your lamp around. Some people Hey, I heard Brother, I think it was Brother Kimball one time, talk about the people that have their cross. Oh, I got a cross, but I'll burn my cross. He said, all they do is go around showing everybody their cross. That ain't what a cross is for. But I got a cross. See what a burden I got? See what I got? I got my cross, packing it around all over the place. No, the cross was to die on. There's a missing place there. Lamps are to be lit. Our lives are to be, Christian lives are to be walking circumspectly. It's to be active and doing and accomplishing. Not just there, it's doing something. It's real and it's alive. Wisdom is the ability to reason, to get things in the right order, and to realize that if I do this, it's going to have this result. Wisdom cries in the street. It's amazing. It's amazing. How many times do you have to see where drug addiction goes before people stop doing it? How many people do you have to visit that's sitting with oxygen at middle age, trying to suck in enough air to live? How many of those do you have to see before you say, I wouldn't want to smoke? Wisdom's crying. Please listen. Please listen. Follow the Lord and you'll see good results. Follow your own selfishness and you'll end up in the ditch somewhere. You're going to end up with heartaches and sorrows. It's obvious and it's in an order that's plain to see. But it goes beyond that because this isn't people that were destitute. These were people that were there and become lacking. There were some people in Revelations that did it. And they got in the same place and the Lord said to them, you can look at it, it's the second chapter, I believe, of Revelations, where He said, He commends them. And He said, but I have something against you. You've left your first love. You do a lot of things, but you left the reason why you should do it. And you left your first love. And I believe it's a symbolic, but He says, go and do it over. Get it right. Because if you don't, they didn't lose their candlestick yet. He was still there. But you're in danger of, if you don't, I'm going to come and take the candlestick away. After all that I've done, can it possibly be? Can I live this kind of life that I live and travel and do all that I can do? And can I be lost? Yes. Yes, I can be lost. I can give years and years and years of doing these things and I can become into a rut and go to service and I can even place my hand, I can say those kind of things and I can be there empty of all. And that's foolish. That is foolish. Because the goal is to shine. The goal is to make it in at the end. But wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. I think that's one of the most pitiful things. Because they arose and trimmed their lamps, still doing the religious duties. They arose at the time, accepted, and trimmed their lamps with every expectation of the grand finale. Right? You know, I feel like when I got saved, I burned a lot of bridges. I changed my wardrobe. I changed my way of life. I got rid of a lot of things. I burned the bridges. I done a lot of things. And by the Lord's help, I've been endeavoring to live a certain way in my life. It'd be something to be lost after that. It'd be something. It'd be something to come down to the end without. But these were foolish. And they would not accept the order, the reasons, the reasoning, the order of God's order. The fact that we can do all those religious things and still be lost at the end is a terrifying thought. Do Do you think it'll be possible? My grandmother, I'm convinced she was a godly woman, loved the Lord, died in faith, died trusting the Lord, just died in faith. Think maybe I can get a little something from Grandma? Come down to the end of it. I mean, she surely had enough. She done a lot. Nope. Grandma was here, she'd say, "Marty, I know what she'd say. You're going to have to do it for yourself. You're going to have to get it yourself." Daniel's righteousness is not going to be enough righteousness for you. Grandma's righteousness is not going to be enough for you. No, you're going to have the oil for yourself. But the wise answered and saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And is there going to be time? Oh, let's pray that there's time. How long? The bridegroom coming. There's a call of the bridegroom coming. It's going to have to be a quick sale, folks. We're going to have to get it quick. There's people selling it today. It's still being sold. The Lord is still selling it right now. The Lord is still trying to get it right now. If you don't have it, it's a good time to get it. It's a good time to get it right. I wonder what the wise say at that point. They check their gauge. Put a little thing down in there. You got enough? Preaching! It's enough? Have I got it? There's that thing tinging on the bus. Nothing in here. But you wait till Monarch. I'll fill this thing full. I'll get it full at Monarch. No, it can't mean you fall. I'll get it. This thing's empty. I'll get it. Well, I'll get it sometime. You know, wisdom's crying in the street. And a lot of never feel it. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Listen at the finality of this statement. And the door was shut. Lord help us. The door was shut. Luke 12. It's where this text came from. The thought that's on the board. Luke 12. 16th verse says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself," and I like to set our minds for this, because in this parable, there was never any actions done. The ground of a rich man brought forth plenty, but it didn't say that it was harvested or anything else. The man knew that it brought forth plenty, and he's simply pondering. I like to think in the still of the night, there was a man that was sitting thinking about his financial situations. He's wondering about what he's going to do and how life is going to be. And this is the way it plays out. Because the man never done anything, really. It's just what he's dealing with. Because it says, "And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" And he said, "This will I do." He didn't say that he did it. He said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns, and I'll build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease and eat and drink and be merry." And I want to tell you, right now, there is just something that's kind of human. Until the moments, until the time comes that rocks our world many times, the times that come, very few people really get a hold of the idea of the frailty of life. You don't really get the understanding of how close every one of us are to eternity. We'll be rocked every once in a while with the reality of it. Something will happen close by. Something will happen to somebody I love, or a pain will hit me, or something will rock my world into the reality of my immortality. But until that moment, Many go on without the realization, with the same mindset that this guy has, sitting in the still of the night, thinking, how am I going to make my life better? Or this will make my life better? Or this is what I'm going to do? Or I'm going to have a long retirement plan done? You know how many times I've heard, over and over, how many times I've heard of a man that worked all of his life, and he'll work faithfully, and then he comes at retirement, and he thinks, I've heard this over and over and over and known them. They say, I'm going to get me an RV. We've had a hard life. We've worked hard. We've raised our children. And now me and honey's going to go, and we're going to get us an RV, and we're going to spend the days that we have left. We're going to spend it enjoying, seeing some things, and going some things. And many times the reality that is never realized, and they go off the scene, die. Yes. How many times have that been? With the plans made there. I don't think those are bad plans. But to be honest with you, I don't think there's any condemnation on this guy tearing down barns and building bigger. Anybody know any Bible principle that would make it a sin to tear down a barn to make a bigger one? Well, you know what? To be honest with you, in the natural world, I could even call that wisdom. Well, if your barns don't hold it all, would it be better to build a bigger barn and then let it ruin? Or the very thing, it might be a very wise thing to do in the natural sense. But God wasn't dealing with the natural sense here. And here was a man that looked, the only thing he was dealing with was his natural. And he said to his soul, I have my time now. This is going to set me up, and I can, boy, I've got it now. I'm not going to have to plant in the next year. So I've got it done now. I'm going to tell you, no matter how wise you can be in this world, folks, there's something more. And you can take the smartest of men, and the most wisest from financial matters to army matters or whatever it is, and they may be also wise in the way of doing things and the order of things and the way things work, and might be able to make a lot of money or conquer or whatever they need to do. But it ain't eternal. But God said unto him, thou fool, unable to see the natural order of things, destitute of reason, one who act contrary to sound wisdom in his morals, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God. Thou fool. You've spent your life and obtained and all these things. Thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You don't know whether they're going to the fool or the wise. I've thought about it many times. My grandpa was a very tight-fisted man. He was a good man. But boy, did he have a tight fist. He kept his money. I mean, he was known to be a tight, miserly man. His family all knew he was a tight, miserly man. And he kept it right up to the end of his life. He kept it that way. And when he died, he gave it to people that was so unlike him. It marveled to me. I thought about it. He'd have been so much better off to give that to the Lord, meant much of it, and blessed his life with it. He didn't spend it for his life, and he didn't give it to the Lord. He kept it like that, and when he gave it to people that spent it. I mean, his children, they didn't hold on to it. And he didn't spend it for anything he cared for either. Thou fool. Therefore, Lord, help us tonight to walk circumspectly in our lives. That we take real consideration of the spiritual side of things. It's worth it. It'll be worth it in the end. There's no investment that we can make in the Lord that won't pay out for it. Oh, you can look in the Scriptures and you look over and over and look at the ones that you could say, so foolish. So foolish. With what they could do. What they had, the place they was put into, Saul was given such an opportunity. But the Scripture never looks back to Saul to being the man then, does it? Doesn't refer back to it refers to David. Over and over again, those that were good kings, it said it was like their father David. David made some mistakes and stuff, but he followed the Lord. And you all make mistakes, we all make some mistakes, but the idea is not that we make mistakes, it's how we respond to them. We can take the things that happen in our life and be so foolish with it. Because a lot of times, folks, I'm going to tell you, the Lord will allow something in our life that if we'll follow the Lord, it will be a great stepping stone to us. It was meant for it. It's used for it. God can use that in our life. And wisdom would say, I know this is hard, but by God's grace, I'll be better when it's over. Because there's a natural order to things in God's world. And I recognize that order that's in there. And yes, this caused quite a ripple in the family, but if I humble myself, it's going to increase this congregation. If I humble myself, it's going to bless my family. And we're going to be closer and better off than it ever is. If I'll follow that route, the wisdom tells me that it will be better than it ever was. But if I don't, wisdom tells me that it's going to deteriorate. How many times, and I'm not putting myself up above anybody, I'm just saying how many times have I seen something happen and say, this is the perfect opportunity for God to help us out. And it'd be a disaster. Because it wasn't seen. The humility didn't happen. The thing that was supposed to happen didn't happen. The wisdom of the order wasn't seen. And it, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to walk circumspectly, knowing, understanding, and seeing what God wants to do in our lives. There is an alternative to that. It's being labeled by something. Now, Brother Kimball said one time, when God calls you a fool, you're a fool. I mean, there's no arguing about, this or that. If God says you're a fool, you're a fool. And God called this man a fool, and this would be an awful title for the Lord to say to us. Thou fool, tonight. I want to ask you a question that's been asked many times. If the Lord was to say to you tonight, your soul will be required of thee. How would you feel about that? How would that look to you? Can you say that it's well? It's all well with my soul. Or do you think the Lord might say, thou fool, you pray for me.